This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm Heather Vail. Joining me is Adriana Connolly, Multicultural Outreach Liaison for the Nevada Donor Network, and Cherie Williams, a donor family member. August is National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month, so this is the perfect time to examine why more organ donors are needed. Adriana and Cherie, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having us, yes.
So, Adriana, what exactly is the Nevada Donor Network?
Yeah, so the Nevada Donor Network is a federally designated nonprofit organ procurement organization, also responsible for facilitating tissue and cornea donation statewide. Our mission is to save and heal life through organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Okay, now August is National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month. Why is it important to bring awareness to minority donors specifically?
It is so important because currently we have over 100,000 people waiting for a life-saving transplant, and 61% of them are represented by multicultural communities. Unfortunately, all multicultural communities are less likely to donate, and they have a high representation on the national transplant waiting list. So we need to encourage our multicultural communities to donate, and that way, all those individuals who are waiting in the national transplant waiting list, they will have an opportunity to survive, and they just will have just hope in their life.
Yeah. Cherie, tell us about your and your husband's story and history with organ donation.
Yes. Clyde was diagnosed with liver cancer and a cirrhosis and ascites. And so he needed a liver transplant. And what a lot of people don't know is currently you cannot receive a liver transplant here in the state of Nevada. So consequently, we traveled to California to USC Keck. And the process of getting a transplant can be complicated. You have to go through tests, and you have to be at a certain level, a MELD level. And we actually had three false starts where we drove to California and thought he was going to have a transplant, and it didn't happen. Either the organ didn't, most of the time it was just the organ wasn't of quality. Finally, on October 22nd, 2023, he received a liver transplant, and it was successful, and he survived and thrived for a bit, but there was cancer outside the liver, so he started to deteriorate, and on March 24th, 2024, he did pass away. But even though he had cancer, he was able to donate his corneas. So Clyde was able to receive, but he also was able to give. And most people don't know you can do that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Bringing it all full circle and giving back where he was given to. I love that story.
Thank you.
What was it like waiting for a liver donor during that time?
Well, it's a process. Because to receive an organ, you have to kind of be sick. So at one point, he was too well, so he couldn't. But he had a lot of tumors in his liver. So when I mentioned MELD, they did what they called an exemption because he had so many tumors in his liver. And so what we would have to do is we live here in Las Vegas. And we would go back and forth to California for medical appointments, for procedures and things. There was a procedure called TACE, where they inject kind of a fluid into the tumors to try to reduce them. And it bears on you because you're traveling back and forth. There's no help for housing. There's no help for travel and what have you. We were just lucky. Clyde was an attorney. And he was able to, you know, finance this. But I know there are a lot of people out there that are not able to do that.
Yeah. So this is a question, I guess, for both of you. But since livers can come from a living donor, shouldn't it be one of the easier donations to get?
Actually, yeah. So the most common donation is for kidneys, right? Like we all know that you can donate one kidney and the person can just like have a regular life, a normal life with one kidney left. Now for liver donation, yes, you can donate a part of your liver and your liver after donation that will regenerate and like you can have a regular life also on that. But the problem with this is like there is a lot of lack of education in the community. So that's why we are doing our best at the Nevada Donut Network, just to educate the community about the different types of donation that people can provide to others. Of course, like donations from deceased donors are the most common ones. But yes, for living donations, liver is possible and kidney for sure. Yeah, so we're just doing everything that is in our hands just to keep educating the community. And hopefully people are more acceptance of this type of donations.
I tried to get Clyde a living donor for liver, but it depends on how seriously ill the liver is. So, you know, that makes a difference. He was not eligible to get a living donor. So you can't always do that.
And just to clarify something, the matching process, it is super important. Even though a person is willing to donate and be a living donor, doctors, they have a lot of criteria in mind when it comes with living donation. The person has to be healthy. And it is important to have a match between the person who is going to donate and the person who is going to receive. So all those criteria are being considered before the person decides to be a donor or just to have a transplant.
Got it. Okay. So, Adriana, you mentioned different types of donations that are needed, but what kind of donations are most needed among minorities specifically?
That's a great question. And actually, I mentioned before that we have over 100,000 people waiting for a life-saving transplant, and 86% of them are needing a kidney. Kidney is the most needed organ within the multicultural communities. And just to provide you with more facts, it is just because, unfortunately, our multicultural communities, they tend to suffer like from diseases like high blood pressure and diabetes. In some occasions, those diseases even can cause a kidney failure. So just to clarify, it's 86% of the entire people who are waiting for a life-saving transplant, not just for multicultural communities. So actually, in 2024, only 34% of multicultural communities donated versus 61% of the people who are like needing an organ to survive. So those numbers, they're telling us and they're showing us that there is like a huge gap between those individuals from multicultural communities, from actually like the ones who are waiting and for the ones who are donating. So if that makes sense. So 61% of the people are waiting, and only in 2024, 34% of them donated.
Okay. Cherie, what's been your experience when talking to people in the community about organ donations while working with the Nevada Donor Network?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I do what they call tabling for Nevada Donor Network. And I've been to some libraries. Just the other day, I was at school, back to school fair. I tabled at the Juneteenth. And it's very interesting. There are quite a few people that are organ donors. And then there are those that have misconceptions about what organ donation is all about. Some people will tell me that they won't be an organ donor because if they're in the hospital and they're sick, they know the doctors will kill them so that they can take their organs. This is what they believe.
Wow.
I've had one lady who told me she knows millionaires who buy people's organs, which, as we all know, that is illegal. And it's just a lack of education. And it's a very uncomfortable situation to talk about. But I try to explain my situation as far as Clyde was, you know, where he had liver cancer. He did receive the liver and he was able to donate. And just to let them know, I tell them I'm not trying to change their mind, but just to think about it and maybe they might want to make a different decision.
Yeah. What would you each like people to know about being organ donors?
Organ donation has such a powerful impact in our communities. And as I mentioned before, there are 1,000 of people waiting for a life-saving transplant. And those are individuals who, unfortunately, they cannot dream. They cannot go to school. They cannot go to their work. things that we normally do every day in our life that we take for granted, and that's the reality. Those individuals, they cannot dream. So organ donation, it is amazing. One organ donor can save the life of other 8 individuals. And one tissue donor can heal more than 75 other lives. So I will just say that organ donation is incredible, and that's why we call it the ultimate gift of life, because that's the most precious and the most selfless and the most generous gift that somebody can give to others.
Yeah, I agree. One of my personal experiences, my son's friend, Ben, who I call my son by choice, had twin sons, and one of his twin sons was born with renal failure. So he lived the majority of his life on dialysis and what have you. And just before his 4th birthday, he received a kidney donation. And he's now growing, he's thriving. And I try to tell people, do you want to be in a situation where all of a sudden you or someone in your family may need an organ donation and it can't happen? Or, you know, because there are no organs available. Sometimes it can happen quickly. Sometimes I have a friend right now who is in San Diego. He's been there for 4.5 months waiting for a heart transplant. So do you really want to be on that end waiting and waiting where you can possibly get sicker and die?
Yeah. Adriana, how does someone become an organ donor, whether it's a living donor or not?
Okay, so for living donation, if that person wants to be a living donor, our recommendation is just go to the closest transplant center to their location, and then just like inquire and just ask them questions about how they can become a living donor. But from deceased donation, it is super simple. People can go to registerme.org and register there. This is the National Registry for Organ, Eye, and Tissue Donation. They can also go to our website, mbdonor.org, and they can register through there. And if you have an iPhone, just go to your medical ID and just follow the steps to become an organ donor. There is another way. Also, of course, and everybody knows about this, like if you have an appointment with the DMV, just say yes to donation and just like check the box, and you will have the opportunity to provide hope to all those individuals waiting.
Okay, that's fantastic. For National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month, you have an educational kit that's available?
Yes, actually, that's a great question. Yeah, if you go to mbdonor.org/NMDAM, then you just can go and just look at the social media kit that we have. We have different statistics about the people currently waiting for an organ transplant. We also have a statistics of how many people receive organ donation, also like the power of donation that I already mentioned, like one organ donor can save the life of 8 others, and one tissue donor can heal more than 75 others. And just like general information of how the community can help and how they can become organ donors. And also like important facts, like have the conversation with your families about organ, eye, and tissue donation. It is important just to make your wishes known, because when your family, they know that you're registered, they're going to respect your decision, and it is going to be easier for them at the time when that time will come, you know? So it is just important to have that conversation and just tell them why you want to register to be an organ donor. And yeah, and the most important thing is, like, as I mentioned before, that's the ultimate gift of life. And all the recipients that they receive those organs, they're always going to be super grateful for the gift of life that they're receiving. So yeah, so if you go to mbdonor.org, you can read about National Multicultural Awareness Month and all the ways that you can collaborate and participate with us for National Multicultural Awareness Month.
Awesome. All right. So once again, obviously, if you would like to become an organ donor, you can do that through the DMV. Check the box when you sign up for your next driver's license or renew it, saying that you'd like to be an organ donor. You can also sign up for the National Donate Life Registry at registerme.org. registerme.org. And if you want to find out more about the Nevada Donor Network and what they do or how to make a living donation, you can do that straight through nvdonor.org. That's NV for Nevada, nvdonor.org. And the special National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month educational kit can be found at nvdonor.org/NLikeNancyMLikeMary, D like dog, A, M like Mary. So that stands for National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month, nvdonor.org/NMDAM. And we've been speaking today with Adriana Connolly, Multicultural Outreach Liaison for the Nevada Donor Network, and Cherie Williams, Donor Family Member. And I really appreciate you both being here, Adriana, for letting us know more about why it's so important to donate, and Cherie, for sharing your personal story and your husband's personal story about the journey that you went through as a family. You've both shared some really important information and some inspirational and heartwarming information. So I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And if it helps someone to make a better decision, then we've done our job.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I'm Silas Norman. Kidney disease is devastating the Black community. We're more likely to have diabetes and high blood pressure, the leading causes of kidney disease.
I have diabetes.
I have high blood pressure.
And we're more likely to have kidney failure.
My mom is on dialysis.
Black people are four times more likely to be on dialysis, yet we're less likely than other groups to get a kidney transplant. As Dr. Silas Norman, a kidney transplant physician, I can tell you that 90% of people with kidney disease don't know they have it. And every day about 12 people die waiting for a kidney transplant. But kidney failure is often preventable. Talk to your doctor about your risk for kidney disease. Insist on getting your kidneys checked regularly, especially if you have diabetes or high blood pressure.
We're the American Kidney Fund. We believe in kidney health for all. Visit kidneyhealthforall.org. That's kidneyhealthforall.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Yvonne Reale-Vasquez, Chief of Staff in the Office of the President at the College of Southern Nevada, or CSN. Fall classes at CSN are starting on Monday, August 25th, with both in-person and online options, and enrollment is open now. Dr. Reale-Vasquez, thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So how long has the College of Southern Nevada been around?
We have been around since 1971. So we've been part of the community for a very, very long time.
And what is CSN's mission?
Well, to put it simply, we are here to help students, help people in our community achieve, succeed, and prosper. And that we take very seriously, because what we think is that with an education, regardless of what direction you're going in, whether you're looking for an associate's or you're looking for a bachelor's degree, or you're looking to develop your skills a little bit more, you will have the opportunity in your workplace or within your life to really find ways to succeed.
Now, when we look at higher education options around the Valley, of course, there are several that are really fantastic. So why would people choose CSN over the other colleges and universities in town?
I think one of the big things for me personally, and I think for a lot of people, I started at a community college myself because I wanted to make sure that one, college was a good fit for me, but secondly, because I knew that I could go into an environment that was going to be extremely supportive for me, that was going to have wraparound services from students looking to advance and really think about what that would mean for them in their futures. But more than that, it was just like it was an opportunity for me to just kind of test the waters a bit and see how things worked. I will tell you, though, CSN is truly an amazing resource for our community because we have trade skills, we have certificates, we have associate's degrees, we have dual enrollment, we have bachelor's degrees, and then we have transfer pathways. So even if you're thinking, I can go into CSN, really get a sense of what this is like, and then I can transfer to UNLV or NSU or UNR or some other place, you'll have that opportunity and we'll work with you on that.
That's great. So how many academic programs and various degrees and certificates does CSN offer?
We have about, let me see, 180 degree and certificate programs. We have programs in some extremely high demand fields like healthcare. We also have skilled trades for advanced manufacturing. Some of our high demand programs include our nursing program. We have respiratory therapy. We have advanced manufacturing, as I mentioned. We also have hospitality management, which is a really big deal for Southern Nevada. But also, we have a cybersecurity program, and that's something that we're very proud of because, again, we're looking at ways that students can consider how to use technology to leverage their careers as well.
Nice. So it sounds like a lot of them align with job opportunities in Las Vegas specifically.
Yes, specifically in Las Vegas, but honestly, all of them are needed across the state of Nevada. We're working with different industries to really consider how we can be a higher education resource for anyone wanting to increase their skill set and move perhaps even to North Nevada or really across the country. I mean, these are skills that we need, and these are educational programs that we need across the United States.
Okay, awesome. So it seems like a lot of those programs, especially the more technical ones, might require in-person hands-on instruction. But how many of the programs and classes are available online?
Most of our programs have online opportunities, so there's very few. I mean, there are certainly some that you're going to want to be hands-on. So, for example, our culinary program, you're definitely going to be in person and you're going to go and learn within our culinary program's facility. So, you can learn to bake, you can learn to cook, you can learn even how to mix drinks, you can learn from the ground all the way up. I mean, from the serving all the way to preparing the meal. So, there are some programs that are more apt to be in person, but then we have a ton of programs that are online as well. Like I said, we even have our cybersecurity program. Our advanced manufacturing program is in person as well because we want them to learn the skills that you need in a place of employment that is going to need that skill set.
Yeah, that's great. So obviously, it sounds like there's a lot of flexibility and various options, but in reality, what kind of schedule availability would someone need if they wanted to become a student at CSN?
I think that's one of the greatest things that we have at CSN. So we start classes very early in the morning. We start at 7 a.m. for some classes. We go all the way into the evening, 8 o'clock at night. We have online classes. We have Saturday classes or weekend classes. It really is extremely flexible because you can truly customize your experience to fit the needs that you have for your personal goals as well as your professional needs.
Awesome. So, what are some of the newest or fastest growing programs that students can enroll in this fall?
Well, so for this fall, so let me take you back a step because, classes again, they're going to start on August 25th. So if you're interested in applying to attend classes at CSN, then first you need to go to csn.edu/apply. You need to get your application in as soon as possible because it takes 3 to 5 business days for us to process that application. And then there are a few steps that you have to take after that to make sure that we have you into our system, that you can access all of the services that we offer to you, and that you complete an orientation program so that you can talk to your advisors and you can get into the classes that you need. So that's one thing that you need to be aware of. But then secondly, from the perspective of what classes or what programs are high demand, I mean, again, some of them are the nursing program or respiratory therapy, hospitality management. We have business programs, education. Many of these programs are growing because of the need from just Southern Nevada, but just in general, we're seeing an enrollment increase because of so many students who are looking to, work on their skills a little bit more and then really consider what a degree would offer to them as far as a career.
Nice. Okay. So, what kind of financial aid and career services do you have that can help students get from school into the workforce when they're done?
I'm so glad you asked that question because, as a public institution, obviously, we work with our students to ensure that you have some kind of financial aid. So, first and foremost, you need to fill out a FAFSA. It's a fairly simple process. You can do it online, but you need to make sure to take care of that first so that we can process that FAFSA application. So, we have financial aid through our federal government. We also have scholarships. And so, once you complete our application process, then we start matching you with scholarships to see what you might qualify for. We have academic, we have programmatic. Obviously, our athletics program has scholarships that they award for their student athletes. We also have, and we are a participant in the Nevada Promise program for high school seniors. So really, there are a lot of opportunities for students to find ways to pay for college. That's just not something that you should worry about. That's something that we can help you apply for. That's something that we want to make sure that you understand. There are different ways to pay for college, and we want to help you find them.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you mentioned high school students, and I know that, for example, at my son's high school, there is a CSN building. So, what kind of programs does CSN offer for students who are still in high school?
So we have a dual enrollment program. We are partners with CCSD, and that's very exciting for us because what that means is that you can take college level classes while you're in high school. And that is so important for high school students and their parents to really consider taking some classes already so that when you finally graduate from high school, then you will have the opportunity to take those credits with you to the college of your choice. And that's going to save you money in the long term, but also it's already giving you an advanced education while you're in high school from professionals who are teaching classes on behalf of CSN. That's an amazing opportunity. And of course, we have the CSN High School as well. And the CSN High School is tied directly with us. You can graduate with your high school diploma and you can graduate with an associate's degree in certain programs.
Nice. So you told us when the classes start, but how long are the sessions?
That varies. I mean, we have 16-week courses, we have shortened format courses, we have accelerated courses. So it really does vary depending on the program that you're interested in studying. That's the importance of talking to one of our academic advisors. And I can tell you that our academic advisors, they have open advising right now through August 29th. So you just need to schedule an appointment to visit with one of our academic advisors, and they can really run through all of those and, talk to you a little bit about what options you have and what your personal goals are so that you can really consider, do you want to take a shortened format? Do you want to take a full semester? What does that look like? And what kind of program are you interested in?
That's great. Okay, so walk us through one more time where people can go to find out more information about the College of Southern Nevada and your various programs that are available, or apply to be a student at the upcoming fall sessions.
So the big place that you want to go is our website. It's www.csn.edu, and you can find all sorts of information about our programs, professors, events, how to apply, what financial aid options you have, and a little bit more about our student support services for you. Now to apply, go to csn.edu/apply, and that will walk you through all of the steps that you need in order to get admitted to CSN.
All right, awesome. So once again, the website for the College of Southern Nevada is csn.edu, csn.edu. You can find out all about the various programs that they have and find out more about whether this is the institution that you would like to go to. If you would, csn.edu/apply is where you can start your application for the fall sessions. Now, Monday, August 25th is the first day of school for fall 2025 classes. Sunday, August 24th is the last day to register for the 4 and 8 week sessions. And then Sunday, September 1st for the longer sessions. You can find out all that information right there at csn.edu/apply. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Yvonne Reale Vasquez, Chief of Staff in the Office of the President at the College of Southern Nevada, or CSN. And Yvonne, I really appreciate you being here sharing this information with us about, first of all, the fantastic academic programs that you have available, the various different ways that people can take the classes, the various different programs that you have, the flexibility that you offer. It all sounds fantastic. So I really appreciate you sharing here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Heather. I really appreciate it. And I'll just end by saying it's a great day to be a coyote at CSN. So thank you.
Every child deserves an education, yet nearly 130 million girls are excluded from the classroom worldwide. Even when girls are in school, many don't receive a quality education. This isn't just a social issue, it's economic. The World Bank estimates gender inequality costs the global economy $160 trillion. Help CARE ensure everyone can go back to school at care.org/backtoschool.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Cindy Gusak, Executive Director of the Collaboration Center Foundation. The nonprofit organization is hosting its first ever music festival, Collabcella, in September. Cindy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is the Collaboration Center Foundation?
So we are an organization that was founded in 2019, and we really established to become a disability resource network, connecting those individuals in the community with intellectual, developmental, physical, learning disabilities with the services that they need for care, whether it be therapy, assessment, help finding physicians, help finding access to Medicaid and insurance needs. We really guide an individual and a family through all those particular services.
Nice. Okay. How does a family become eligible or apply for services at the Collaboration Center?
So what is wonderful is there is absolutely no, quote, eligibility requirement to work with us. We are a free service. That is the whole purpose of our nonprofit. So you can contact one of our case managers. It is not income-based. Disabilities affect those of all ages, of all races, of all income levels. So we are here to service any of them. So it is really just a matter of reaching out to us. You can go to our website, www.collablv.org. And reach out to the contact form there and contact one of our case managers and they will reach back out to you.
All right, that's fantastic. So tell us about the Collabcella Music Festival.
So this is new for us. And from my understanding, we are probably one of the first nonprofits here to actually be hosting a music festival. And what we realized was that traditional galas, which we do hold that every year for, you know, larger donors, they can feel a little bit exclusive and intimidating, especially to those of younger demographics, looking at the millennial and Gen Z groups out there. And music really is an international language. So, you know, breaks down barriers, helps promote our mission. So we thought, let's put together something that'll bring together some of these younger individuals, expose them to our mission. Though I will say we are having a lot of the, you know, Gen Xers respond as well. So it really is, you know, it does go across the board. But it's really about the idea that we are accessible to all those of all ages.
What kind of music is it?
It is going to be full genre. So we have everything from rock to pop music to cover bands to country music to hip hop. So it is a full range, including bands and DJs.
Nice. Okay. So when and where exactly is it happening?
So Collabcella is going to be on September 13th from 4 to 9 p.m. And it is actually directly on our campus, which is at 8390 West Windmill Lane. We operate on a 5-acre campus, which is just a really wonderful space for everyone to gather and not just hear music, but learn about our mission and see what we do every day.
That's awesome. So what is this festival going to feel like? If someone were to attend the concert, it runs for 5 hours. What kind of vibe are they going to experience there?
You know, we really want to go for that whole idea of a relaxed, wonderful Saturday afternoon, early fall. There's going to be food trucks from, you know, Mexican food to, you know, seafood to burgers. There's going to be several drink trucks. There's going to be opportunities to purchase merchandise and really just listen to some great music and DJs that are going to be out there. It's really just a time to, you know, bring some lawn chairs, sit down, enjoy each other's company and experience all that, you know, our campus has to offer in the company of others.
Yeah, it sounds just like a regular music festival.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how exactly does the event support the Collaboration Center?
So what is really wonderful is that we have sponsors for our event who range from, you know, we have Convex, Cashman Photo Enterprises, Penta Building Group, Welt Law, Zip Code Magazines, By Design, Haven. All of those sponsorships actually pay for our cost to put on the event. What is also wonderful is that all of the bands and all of our DJs are donating their time, which is absolutely phenomenal. So every bit of the ticket prices that individuals are paying to come to this event really goes directly back to our case management services so that we can provide the services to those who need it in the community.
Okay. Now, looking beyond Collabcella, what sorts of opportunities do you have for community members to get involved, whether that's volunteering, donating, helping out in some other way?
We take all of the above. Obviously, we are always looking for donations. It certainly takes a village to support an organization of this nature and offer our free services. So if you go to our website, you can certainly click on a donate button, support there. We are also hosting our resource fair called Harvesting Hope in November, and that is November 8th. And that is our largest sort of community outreach opportunity, where we're going to have over 50 vendors on site. And that is absolutely going to require a lot of volunteers to help. Sometimes we get close to 400 families out here, so we always need volunteers to help manage that process.
Okay, and what would a volunteer do when there's not a major event happening?
So it varies. Sometimes we're looking for volunteers who are willing to sort of help, set up for events or clean out particular spaces we have on campus. Sometimes we need volunteers for, we do family inclusion programming. So we have, for example, caregiver support groups, we have adult social groups, we have teen social groups. And often we'll look for volunteers to just come give support, interact with those who are part of our program, spend some quality time with them, and help them have a wonderful time.
That's awesome. All right. So you did give the website, but once again, where can people go, first of all, to find out more information about the collaboration center, or if they'd like to sign up to be a volunteer, apply for services, or get tickets to the Collabcella Music Festival?
They can do all of that on our website at www.collablv.org.
Nice. Okay. So once again, that website is collablv.org, short and simple. That's the Collaboration Center Foundation, just collablv.org. And you can find out more information about the Collaboration Center. You can sign up to be a volunteer, find out about the upcoming events, and you can get tickets to the Collabcella Music Festival, which again is happening on Saturday, September 13th from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Collaboration Center campus, which is 8390 West Windmill in the southwest corner of the valley. And of course, if you're in need of services, you can do that as well at collablv.org. And we've been speaking today with Cindy Gusak, Executive Director of the Collaboration Center Foundation. And Cindy, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know more about what the Collaboration Center is doing in the community, the amazing services that you offer to people, and the great events. It sounds like a really fun music festival. And I know you always have other great fundraising events, but this one's unique. So I hope you get a lot of people out there. It sounds like a great time. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Katie Linnendahl, Emmy Award-winning tech expert. As the back-to-school season gets into full swing, it's a great time to gear up with some of the latest technology. Katie, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, Heather, great to join you. Thank you.
So beyond those old school basics like pen and paper, what are some of the top tech items that parents and students should know about?
I think things have definitely changed since the days we were in school. And, I used to get so excited about having that TI-85 calculator and the pencil box, but things have leveled up. And I had the chance to partner with some of the coolest gadgets. And I'm so excited to share these with you because I want to start with the hands-on tech devices that have really just changed over the years. Students nowadays, they're expecting their 3 to 5 year must-have device that's always on them to not only be portable and have all day battery life, but also be a really cool work of craftsmanship. And putting the spotlight on Asus, their ZenBook S14 gives them the capability to stay future ready. And this is a device that's powered by Intel. It's really important what chip is powering your device these days. But also students want an AI laptop now. So they can now do multitasking. It is lightweight, under 3 pounds. And again, like I said, all day battery life. And even things like the bells and whistles of having an AI webcam that makes every shot look extra great. So even our laptops now sound futuristic, but they are must-haves because they are a device that are on us all the time. And just to give you another hands-on device that has totally changed since our days of back to school, Rocketbook is a popular name in the back to school world because they've sold over 2 million digital notebooks. And their Rocketbook Core is one of the most popular notebooks in their offering. And you can pair this notebook with an app to scan and upload your handwritten notes directly to the cloud that you can access anytime. So there's 36 pages in the reusable notebook. And every time you're done with it, you just erase it and reuse the notebook over and over again. So essentially, you can access your handwritten notes with smart tags and smart titles anywhere, anytime. And just amazing how we've now gone to a digital notebook just as advanced as our computers almost these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are great for when students are on the go. What sorts of space-saving tech and gadgets are good for those small dorms and apartments?
Yes. Well, when I was in college, it was all about the all-nighters, just studying and making sure you were up getting your tests. And probably the two essentials I would say are coffee and water for any college student or anyone that has that small apartment or that first dorm. And I want to put the spotlight on this new technology called Carapod. It is from Carawater. And what's amazing about it is it's a countertop unit and it's an air-to-water unit. It was actually a CES Innovation Award winner. The CES is the world's largest tech show. But it produces a gallon of water daily just from thin air. And it uses this three-stage purification process to enhance the minerals, but also you're saving so much money on bottled water. And from that too, you can also put in pods and they brew fresh coffee. So imagine having this countertop unit that from the air, what a talking point, you know, you have friends coming over that brews coffee, but also gives you a gallon of water right at your fingertips every single day. Carapod, futuristic tech.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And of course, we all know CES around here.
That's for sure. You got to totally had it by the time it's over.
Right. Okay, now those are all great things for the older kids, the high school students, college students. What about for the little kids?
Yeah, for the little kids, you know, I try to be the cool aunt as long as possible. I want to retain that title. But there is always a big request now, especially for my nieces and nephews, on smartwatches. And you have to find one that is, you know, gives you those parental controls. And this one I want to put the spotlight on. I absolutely approve. It is called the Junior Track 5 smartwatch from Cosmo. And what it is it's a smartwatch that's all in one. It's a phone, it's a watch, it's a GPS tracker. So you can always stay in touch with your child. And this has real-time location tracking and everything is managed by an app on the parent's phone. Bonus, no access to internet and social media, and only the contacts the parent can approve will actually be on the smartwatch. So love that there's parental controls on board here. And also this particular smartwatch is 50% off for back to school, which is a super nice bonus. So it's only $74.99. And just love that the parent is always in control.
Yeah, that's great. And what else do you have for those of us who are commuting and on the go working all the time?
Totally. And for students too, you know, I had this 3-hour commute going back to school every year and I was trying to come home as much as possible. This is an amazing gadget for the adults, for the kids, and just peace of mind for parents, especially. A little device called Spark AI, S-P-A-R-Q. It's a tiny device that plugs into the OBD reader of most cars on the road. And what it does is as soon as you pop it into your car, in a matter of seconds, it'll pop up on the app. It can diagnose over 50,000 issues instantly. And typical OBD readers that were available in the past were kind of for the super nerds or the super mechanics. This has no complicated codes. It's easy to read, simple English, easy to interpret, and you can immediately find out if anything is wrong with your vehicle. So you're sending that student back to school and they're driving and making a commute. Make sure that you have the peace of mind as a parent that the vehicle is safe and the kids are staying safe too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. So where can listeners go to learn more about this latest back to school tech that you've been talking about?
Absolutely. I have all of them listed and tons more gadgets and technology at katielinendahl.com or on my socials at katielinendahl. So you can find more and discover new cool gadgets and technologies.
Nice. Okay. So once again, the website is katielinendahl.com. That's spelled exactly as it sounds. Katie, K-A-T-I-E, Linendahl, L-I-N-E-N-D-O-L-L.com, or find her on social media at Katie Linendahl. And you can find out a lot more about the latest back to school tech and the other technology that she talks about all the time. We've been speaking today with Katie Linendahl, Emmy Award-winning tech expert. And Katie, I really appreciate you being here, sharing some of these fun ideas that I'm sure a lot of people haven't heard about, things that can help us with productivity and safety, and that water out of thin air just sounds amazing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Heather.
I just got a text asking me to approve a bank transfer I didn't make. I bet you get messages like this too. So much of our lives are online today, from email to banking and everything in between. To make sure my information was protected, I checked out CISA's Secure Our World website for simple steps to stay safe online. Now I know how to protect myself from scammers, and you can learn too. Go to CISA at cisa.gov/secureourworld.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Jesse Abercrombie, financial advisor at Edward Jones. A new study from Edward Jones examines our financial mindset, confidence, and how people are working toward financial fulfillment in today's environment. Jesse, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So, how are Americans feeling about their finances in today's uncertain environment?
You know, Heather, despite recent volatility and some uncertainty, there's new research that's found that a significant 3/4 of Americans are actually optimistic about their financial futures. Now, this study was conducted during a period earlier this year in April, and the markets were pretty volatile. But a vast majority of those respondents said they're either on track to achieve or they've already actually achieved a financially fulfilled life. And I really think this goes to the deep power of personal relationships and trusted financial advice.
Interesting. Okay. What exactly does it mean to live a financially fulfilled life?
Yeah, it can mean a few things. The first that comes to mind is really having the freedom to really pursue your passions. And I've always said some of the most successful people in the world, in the country, that have created these amazing companies, they did it out of pure passion. And when you have financial fulfillment, you do feel a lot more free to go out and do those things because you're not financially stressed, right?
Yeah.
The second item is really making a better life for themselves and their families. You know, most of my clients agree that they'd like to have a better life for themselves and their families than they actually did when they were children, the same or either better. And last but not least is really having security and protection from those unforeseen events. I think about that last one and those first two, pursuing those passions and having a better life for yourself and your family. If you have security and protection in place, meaning 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses stowed away in a savings account or money market, or making sure you've got proper coverage like life insurance, disability, and all the types of protection that comes with that, really helps you have that security and that protection from those events that you just don't see coming.
Yeah, definitely important. Now, it's one thing to say you want all those things and another thing to actually make it happen. A lot of it's easier said than done, even though those are all great, desirable things. So what are people willing to do in order to achieve that financial fulfillment?
Well, I think the first thing is having a solid financial plan. You know, having that in place really does help build confidence. And so that's working with them on their short-term and their long-term goals. And Heather, I like to refer it as your needs, your wants, and your wishes. Let's really help understand what those things are. And actually, to become even more financially fulfilled, it's important that clients look at changing their discretionary spending habits. You know, maybe not spending so much on the latte or not going out to eat as much. And then paying off their debt, which, you know, that's the new source of really financial fulfillment and importance, is not having as much debt. And then last is improving financial literacy. Again, this last point, improving financial literacy, makes it easier for in the future to have better spending habits and make sure that you're not accumulating a lot of debt. So that last point, improving financial literacy, that's one that a financial advisor can help those clients with as well.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, if someone wants to get started now, what sorts of steps could people take to build more confidence in their financial futures and tackle some of those things like paying off debt?
Yeah, I think it's important to just have a plan. I think that's what's so important. Having a plan, like anything else in life, you have a plan, you have goals, you write those things down. And then you either have someone that you know that you love that's going to hold you accountable. Usually that's a family member or a really good friend. Or again, it could be your trusted financial advisor or your trusted CPA that you're working with. Either one of those professionals or people in your close network can really help you build confidence in your futures. And I've always said, be around those people that live the type of life from a financial standpoint that you want to live, because then you'll make better financial decisions as well.
Yeah, that's great advice. Now, just looking at the paying off debt piece, sometimes that can be overwhelming, because if you're only paying a little bit, the interest ends up more and it can be hard to dig out of. What advice do you have for someone who wants to pay off that debt little by little, chipping it away?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important. You know, you'll get your credit card statement, or you may have an installment loan. It's important to pay a little bit more than what's being asked. So if it's a credit card and your monthly payment is $150 for the month, try to pay more. And for those that are really trying to get more aggressive, taking half of your balance and paying off half of your balance, and then the next month paying off half. And before you know it, the half gets smaller, the next half gets smaller, and the next half gets smaller. And before you know it, they've paid off the debt and they're a lot more in control of their finances.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you've mentioned working with a financial advisor a few times, but a lot of people haven't even considered taking that step. What are the benefits of working with an advisor in order to achieve that financial fulfillment?
Well, the first thing is the advisor is going to work with them on those tailored strategies. Earlier, I mentioned needs, wants, and wishes. I think about my clients that I take through that actual exercise or their needs, wants, and wishes. Everyone has different needs, wants, and wishes, right? So being tailored in that strategy of working with them. And then also, again, making sure that if they want that financial literacy to help build optimism, they'll know that a financially fulfilled life is really achievable then. But those people that do work with an advisor and they talk about their goals, they're much, much, much more optimistic than the DIY investors, right? Because when things get a little choppy and dicey in the markets, you can meet with your financial advisor and they'll say, you know, you're still on track to achieve your goals. So that stress, I've seen clients walk out of the office after, you know, the markets have been down and saying, hey, you're still in really, really good shape. They leave out of the office a lot better than the way they came in. And that's what's so important of working with a financial advisor.
So where can listeners go to find out more about achieving financial fulfillment?
Sure. Go to edwardjones.com/pulse.
All right. Awesome. So once again, that website is edwardjones.com/pulse. edwardjones.com/pulse. You can find out more about what it takes to achieve that financial fulfillment. And with 75% of the country looking forward, being optimistic about their financial future, there's obviously some great strategies and techniques that you can put into play. You can find out more about it right there at edwardjones.com/pulse. And we've been speaking today with Jesse Abercrombie, financial advisor at Edward Jones. And Jesse, I really appreciate you being here. You've shared a lot of great information, not only about what people are thinking, how people are feeling about the current economic situations, but also what they're willing to do about it and how we can also have more financial fulfillment. So thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Heather. Take care.
Many business owners, entrepreneurs, and independent contractors can't stop themselves from spending all the money as it comes in, then incurring debt to pay taxes and other obligations. Help is available now. Debtors Anonymous is a 12-step recovery program to help people and businesses stop incurring new unsecured debt. Request free program literature at helpfordebtors.org. That's helpfordebtors.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, August 18th at 8 p.m. benefiting the SEED program, and Monday, September 8th at 8 p.m. benefiting Conquer Paralysis Now. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Enrollment is open for fall classes at the College of Southern Nevada, or CSN. The fall session starting on Monday, August 25th, with a mix of online and in-person classes in close to 200 different programs, including certificates, diplomas, associate and bachelor's degrees. Find out more, see the program offerings, or apply to be a student at csn.edu. That's csn.edu. The Las Vegas Rescue Mission is holding their annual bottled water drive through August 31st. When the summer is hot, vulnerable community members experiencing homelessness need water more than ever. You can drop off bottled water donations at the Las Vegas Rescue Mission security gate 24/7. Find out more at vegasrescue.org. That's vegasrescue.org. The Collaboration Center Foundation is hosting their first Collabcella Music Festival on Saturday, September 13th from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Collaboration Center campus, 8390 West Windmill Lane in Las Vegas. Get your tickets or find out more at collablv.org. That's collablv.org. Shoes for Scholars is hosting their Smarts and Strides 5K Run and Walk on Saturday, September 20th, with registration at 7 a.m. and the Run and Walk at 8 a.m. at Town Square. Find out more or sign up at shoesforscholars.org. That's shoesforscholars.org. And the All Life Pregnancy Clinic is holding their 40th anniversary Race for Life 5K Run and 1 Mile Walk on Saturday, October 11th from 7:30 to 10 a.m. at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway in Henderson. Get all the details and sign up to race or walk at alllife.org. That's A-L-L-Y-F-E, alllife.org.